It's time to get nerdy, y'all.
A little bit of gaming history for you.
Something relevant in gaming and discuss our opinions on it.
Should we kick it out of here or should we kickstart it?
This is the part where you, the listeners, try to stump the hosts.
I'm not a lawyer, I just play one on a podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, it's Tuesday, October 20th, 2020, and you know what that means. It's 11 days until Halloween, and also it's time to get nerdy, y'all. Welcome to episode number 162 of Two Nerds in a Pod, the nerdiest video game podcast in the galaxy. I'm Lom, also known as Mr. Nice Guy, and I'm joined by my comrade in gaming commentary, the Miggity 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 Mac, also known as Maction. Mac, welcome, brother. How you been, man?
I've been all right. It's been a good week, although I must admit I would normally see you on Thursday, but I missed you. Still had fun, just you know, missing my second weekly dose of Mr. Nice Guy.
Yeah, for those who don't know, we usually play a game of GURPS on Thursday night with a few other friends of ours. And I was busy this week. I had some good friends and family in town, and I wanted to hang with them. Not that they're more important than Mac. But when people fly in to see you, you got to spend time and you want to spend time. So we did that. It was fun. What else is going on, Mac? Lots of gaming that we'll talk about later. I do have a show coming up this weekend. Going to be in Leesburg, Indiana. So if anyone lives there, you can follow me on Twitter and I will tweet out the location of that show. It should be a lot of fun. So yeah, I'm hyped for that. Comedy's picking up with social distancing and life is good, Mac. But you said it was a good week. So what was good about it for you?
You know, I tried out a few new things. We did something in, well, I'll say more about in what we've been playing, but I'll fill you in as well as everybody else on the interesting idea that we tested out during Thursday when we didn't have you. But also, you know, just trying a lot of different things lately. Doing some cooking a little bit.
No way. Cooking with Maction. The people need it.
Well,
the people need it.
Believe it or not, back when I was in high school, I had an open slot of time, and so I was actually TA for the teacher who taught the cooking class, who taught foods. So I was in the kitchen all the time, and it's something that I really enjoyed, and I'm starting to plan out some meals and try out some stuff. Anyway, it's kind of fun to rekindle a love for something that you haven't done in a while. So I feel like it's been, even though it's not been an exciting week, I feel like it's been a very fulfilling week.
So here's what I have got to know, because you say you cooked stuff and then you don't say what it was, and I feel like that's just not acceptable. So I need to know, were you baking, were you grilling, were you sauteing, were you sous viding, were you doing other things that are other words for cooking? What were you doing?
Primarily sauteing and boiling, I would say, were the two big activities. But I was doing a lot of work related to Indian food. Made some gram masala spice, did some curry, some rice, and the like. And I've got more upcoming, but I did a lot of prep work because being away from basically everything where I am right now, where I'm living, there's a lot of stuff that I don't have access to. So it's just that much harder to scratch that Indian food itch. So,
well, I'm going to talk to Mrs. The Mac later and find out how it tasted. But this is not a cooking show. This is a video game podcast, and Mac, I say we do what we do best and hop right into the video game news, my friend. What do you think?
Absolutely.
Episode 162 is a go. Thank you for tuning in here live or after the fact on podcast services. All right, so let's jump right in, Mac. We got some interesting stories. It was more of a slow news week, in my opinion.
Well, not every news week can be like last news week.
No, last week was freaking fantastic. But let's talk about one of my favorite games, NBA 2K21, and something that went down within that game this week. This is on Polygon.com, written by Owen S. Good. It says, the NBA 2K series is taking fire again for the appearance of unskippable loading screen advertisements that show up in the main game. This weekend, Survivor reported that an ad for Oculus Rift, I think it means to say, it says Oculus Road, but I think it's supposed to say Oculus Rift. before the usual episode of NBA 2K TV, which precedes a game loading in any of NBA 2K21's multiple modes. The prompt to edit lineups as the game... This is written really badly. I'm sorry, Owen. No disrespect intended. I'm just going to summarize what's going down for Mac, but I appreciate you writing this story. So, Mac, bottom line is there's some unskippable ads when you try to enter certain multiplayer modes in NBA 2K21, and they're advertising the Oculus Rift. They are unskippable, so you have to watch them before you are able to play your game. What do you think? Is this crossing the line, or is this effective advertising?
Well, I mean, you know, we all know that that's kind of what you're getting into when you have a game that's free to play, that you're just not going to be able to escape advertisements. This is how...
Just real quick, NBA 2K21 is not free to play.
It's not free to play.
No, you pay for it, for sure.
Oh, wow.
I bought it this year.
Sorry, I'm trolling. I am absolutely trolling here. I knew, but I mean, no, that's ridiculous. You paid, what did you pay, $70 for NBA 2K21?
So I bought the Mamba edition that comes with the PS4 and the PS5 game. So I paid, I think, $89 for both versions in one package.
Mm-hmm. And then unskippable ads as part of the loading screens?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, man. You've been done dirty.
That's kind of how I feel about it, too. I mean, I feel like maybe a bigger deal is being made out of this than it should be, because I think that it's just the fast food society that we live in. People want everything now. They want it quick. They want their games to load in 2 seconds. But if the game is loading anyway and there's an ad that you can't skip, yeah, it sucks. But if it's for something that's targeted at your demographic anyway, I don't see why it's that big a deal. It's not like they're political ads. This was an ad for the Oculus Quest 2, which just came out.
Well, maybe they're not that kind of advertisement yet. But is this not the slippery slope?
That's a very valid point, because if they do that, who's to say that they won't do political ads someday? Right, or even something that's universally offensive someday.
Or even they might start running ads. I mean, who's to say how much is that space? How much are they selling that for? Obviously, they're not advertising in-house, because it's not like it's advertisements for their next thing. So obviously, they're open to third-party advertisements.
Oh, sure.
Do you want those unskippable cutscene, loading screens to have advertisements for Hero Wars, the mobile game? Can you rescue the princess? Only 5% of the people who try this puzzle can complete it.
No, I do not want that at all.
Understandably so.
Yeah, but you know what? I watch TV or I watch sports, and there's unskippable ads, right? And so my only solution in that situation is to get up and to go do something else, or just to mute them, or just to not pay attention. And so to me, this is not really anything different. NBA 2K21 and sports games in general often get a bad rap because there's virtual currency that's purchasable, and some people see it as play to win. They see it as a money grab every year, a cash grab. And so I don't feel like this is going to hurt their reputation, but I don't feel like they have crossed any type of moral line, in my opinion. So do we have some comments on the chat, Mac, on this before I continue to the next news story?
Galvatron is reiterates his position that gaming is one of the most disrespectful industries to its customers out there. And I am very inclined to agree for reasons that I have, gone on ad nauseum in the past. But ads and, quote, ads and their constant reaching into pockets is one of the many examples. And I'm very much inclined to agree, especially where we're talking about a game that, you already paid quite a bit of money comparatively.
Annually as well. Annual release. Yeah, I'm with you. Cool. Well, let's keep things moving, Mac. Let's talk about virtual reality, since we were just talking about the Oculus Quest 2. This is by Leanna Rupert on GameInformer.com. The Oculus Quest 2 is now available, offering a wireless virtual reality experience for those craving new adventures. Whether you're looking for a shooter or a way to get some cardio in, here are a few of the best VR games for you to play with your new Oculus Quest 2. Now, Mac, I want to get a question for you. What innovations do you, before I read these, and then you can answer it after I read them, what are some innovations we could see in the world of VR, as far as maybe social experiences or just whatever that we cannot do on a console or a PC? Like, what do you want to see from VR within the next 10 years? Here's the games that are listed as some of the best. Vader Immortal, Walking Dead Saints and Sinners. I've heard a lot about that one since I got my VR headset. Star Wars Squadrons as well. Mac, have you heard about this game at all?
Yes, I have heard whispers of it. I don't know anything about it, though.
So effectively, it's a Star Wars game where you spend a lot of time in the cockpit and you're wearing virtual reality headsets. So you look up, you see the roof. I mean, apparently it's just amazing. And you can also use those little flight simulator controllers, you know, to make it seem like you're actually in the cockpit, or you can just use a traditional controller. But apparently it's really hot right now. I have not tried it yet, but eventually I'll get around to it. Star Trek Bridge Crew, super hot VR. What else we got here? Phantom Covert Ops, Myst, Half-Life Alyx, a game that we all have heard of, Attica, Moss, which is a platforming 3D game, and Beat Saber multiplayer. So there's a lot of really legit games out there. Mac, what would you like to see innovation-wise in the VR industry?
You know, I have to admit that I think because I have so little interaction with VR, except in a conceptual fashion, I don't know as I can really conceive of what the improvements I would like to see, because I just don't have enough experience with VR yet to know what I want. You know what I mean? Yeah. In some ways, I'm still kind of blown away by what we experienced when we got to try out the HTC Vive before it was released. And also my brief time that I played Beat Saber and Bridge Crew when I went and visited a friend about a year ago or so. And I just had a great time there. But I don't think I've experienced enough of what the platform has to offer to know where I would like it to go in the future, with the exception that I would love I would of course love fewer wires, which it sounds like we're getting toward, and I would like more movement, or at least the ability to work in movement solutions. And yeah. I guess the third one would be decrease in, I know watching those 3D movies, I would tend to, after a little while, get a little bit of a headache. So I would love for, you know, innovations to try and decrease nausea and headaches, because I know that's something that a lot of people deal with. But those are just the only things I can come up with.
Yeah, so it's interesting, you know, when I first got into it, I thought, because I have the headset now, and I thought Half-Life Alyx, you know, Skyrim, that type of stuff. And I do those things, but one thing that I've really gotten into is this app called Big Screen. And it's effectively an app that lets you watch movies or videos or whatever people are playing in a virtual theater, and you can socialize with others while you watch it, or you can mute them. But it's just kind of cool. Like, it's just a unique experience. And some people have just social rooms set up where you have an avatar that's created. There's rooms about politics. There's rooms about sports. There's rooms where they're just watching old episodes of South Park or the Boondocks. It's just a super cool idea. Now, as a comedian, the one thing I would love to see is something that allows us to work out our material in a virtual room. I think that would be a very cool idea.
You know what? They did one of those live concerts in Fortnite. I would love to see Mr. Nice Guy headlining at a comedy club in Fortnite. I might even tune in and consider getting at least on somebody's Fortnite account so that I could catch the Mr. Nice Guy exclusive Fortnite comedy special.
Yeah, dude, I appreciate that. I'll write all jokes about Fortnite and how I don't enjoy it. That would be fantastic to do that in-game. How meta would that be?
Oh, the meta-ist.
The meta-ist. Well, speaking about... I don't even know how I'm going to transition to this next
battle buses. Am I right? Am I right?
Sure. That's right.
That's why
reviving teammates.
That's why he's the comedian and not me.
Leave it to the pros, Mac. Leave it to the pros, brother. No, I'm just kidding. All right, so moving on to our next news story. This is on Polygon.com. This is one that's literally happening right now. This Twitch live stream that I'm about to mention is happening right now. This is written by Karen Hahn. Among Us has quickly become one of the biggest games of the year, and its latest player is none other than U.S. Representative for New York's 14th Congressional District, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. I apologize for mispronouncing it. tonight at 9 p.m. Eastern time. Do not leave our stream to go watch it. I'm just mentioning that this is happening right now. She will stream the game on her Twitch channel as part of an effort to get more people to vote. She'll be joined on her stream by streamers like Pokemon, Hassan Piker, and others. So, Mac, here's my question. Like, and I don't want to, like, ask a leading question. So let me just ask you, what are your thoughts on this as a method of getting people to vote? You know, going to Twitch and streaming a game.
I don't know. I mean, I feel like I don't know if there are that many people who would not vote, but for this outreach by AOC, now feel inclined to vote. I mean, obviously the parallels of voting, you know, of voting out whomever an imposter might be is certainly one thing. And you know, there are parallels there, and sure, it's funny, and I am sure that tons of people are watching that. But I mean, I don't know if there are, and I suppose at the end of the day, it's a success even if just a few people make that thing. If you do the thing and 20 people decide to vote that otherwise wouldn't have, I mean, it can make a difference in places. So, I mean, more power to them. But I just don't know who was on the fence until they see the, you know, the now currently happening live stream.
Right, right. Someone doing something that they wouldn't normally do and saying, hey, you should go do this, right? That, like, that's not how it works. But at the same time, here's why I think this is a brilliant idea. Welcome to everyone who's saying hello in the chat, by the way. Back in the day, and this is before I was old enough to vote, I remember hearing about Bill Clinton going on MTV, I believe, and playing the saxophone, you know, just simply to get that exposure to the younger voter, because he knew it was a big platform at the time, and kind of trying to show that in his mind he was hip, that he was cool. You know, he's on MTV as a presidential candidate. She is not a presidential candidate, but this is a similar thing, Mac. In a time where COVID-19 really does not make it safe to have a presidential rally or to have a fundraiser that's in person, she's doing something that is allowing her to reach a huge audience of people who probably would have voted, but maybe some of them wouldn't have. And I think that this is a good idea, using the virtual world to meet with people and encourage them to do something that we should all be doing anyway, right? She's not holding a rally. She's not trying to do a big Zoom call or, you know, go on CNBC or CNN or Fox or whatever. She's doing something that is easily accessible, and people can interact with her live. And when I checked earlier, it showed that she had, like, what was it? Like, 250,000 views on her stream. So I think it's working at the very least.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I was not aware that this was going on until you mentioned it. But I will say that that for my part, and maybe it's just because I already, you know, did the thing, that I'm like, I don't know who's on the fence before this. Although I suppose it could be a very good opportunity to be like, hey, here's where you need to go. It's just like, if you're in this state, you go here, and so on. Or at least, you know, get more of that information into people's hands.
Yeah, for sure.
But then again, it is kind of the information age, so I feel like that's there. I mean, no disrespect. No disrespect to AOC. I just feel like I don't know who's convinced that wasn't on the fence about it.
I'm a fan of AOC. Like, I'm a fan of the work that she does. I think she's a straight up baller, and I love the confidence that she shows, that she exudes anytime she steps in the room and anytime she's interacting with someone who is contentious or disrespectful. Like, the lady is just straight up. She's straight up gangster. Like, I love what she does. And so I like that she's doing something innovative as a way of getting out to people, because there's a lot of people, both men and women, who really look up to her. And so I just think that she's using a platform that she's not typically using to get word out, and I think that's great. This next one is about GameStop, and it's about how it's not going to be open on Black Friday this year, following suit of many other retailers. They're attributing it to the COVID-19 thing, but really I think they've just actually realized that they don't want to be open on Turkey Day. Mac, when's the last time you actually went out on a Black Friday to buy something? something? Like, I can't remember for me.
I would say probably 2015, I think. Yeah.
And I think it was for me, too, because that was the last year I was living in the same city as you. Point being, I don't think it's just coronavirus that's making them not do this. I think that we're just making that huge switch to digital. Like, if you want a video game that's on sale on Black Friday, you have at least four options where you can buy it online. If you want a TV, on the other hand, you probably may need to go wait in person, depending on availability. But I just feel like we're shifting, and it's good to see, because I don't want to go out on Thanksgiving. I don't want people to have to work on Thanksgiving, and I really don't want to wait in line. So I'm really happy to see that the games industry and other industries are going this route. Mac, that has been our news for the week, man.
All right. Well, I will say one thing about Black Friday. Not a fan of, you know, of making it whenever that change happened, that it started bleeding over into Thanksgiving. But I will say that going out early Friday morning, there was almost always a certain energy in the air that that while sometimes could turn a little bit crazy, was certainly interesting. But, you know, just in general, yeah, I hear ya. But with that being said, let's take a look into the past, shall we? With a little bit of gaming history. And I have to admit, there are some big events that happened this week in years before, but to some extent we've covered them before. So my apologies, but I still think for anybody who hasn't already heard this from, say, episode, I imagine it's probably going to be like 120 or so, which would have been last year around this time, it still bears mentioning. And first and foremost, 1994, the release of Sonic and Knuckles for the Genesis. Okay, so
nice.
The game, reasonably cool, right? I liked it. I enjoyed being able to play Sonic and play through the Sonic games as Knuckles. But it was a game that was made in large part because Sonic 3 was just not quite ready, and they needed something here in the release cycle to get something out there, and so they did this with Sonic and Knuckles. But as an added bonus, they worked in the lock-on technology, which allowed you to, you know, flip open the top of Sonic and Knuckles and plug in the game, whether it was Sonic 2, so that you could play through Sonic 2 as Knuckles, or Sonic 1, so that you could play through Sonic 1 as Knuckles instead. But that pass-through technology, allowing the game console to read through certain portions of the original game, but also to read through portions of the game that were unique to the Knuckles cartridge. Things like, character commands. What happens when you jump and then you jump again? Well, if you're Sonic, nothing, of course. You know, you jump, you hit it. It's not like you get a double jump or anything. If you're Knuckles, you start that glide and the like. And then, you know, what happens if you bump up against a wall? Well, if you're Sonic, nothing, naturally. But if you're Knuckles, you climb that wall.
You climb that wall.
You climb that wall. And so, in some ways, what's going on there is not dissimilar from what happens when you play, for example, a ROM hack. Essentially, when you think about ROM hacking, that's what they did with Sonic and Knuckles and the pass-through technology, with the exception, of course, that the patching, if you will, is being done on the fly by passing it through the other game cartridge. Nonetheless, though, a cool bit of technology. It saw, in spite of its promise, in spite of its its ability to do this sort of a thing, they really didn't use it in anything else. And obviously it wasn't that much longer after Sega, or after the Genesis, that we started transitioning away from cartridges and over to CDs, you know, in the later 90s. So obviously this lock-on technology didn't really find its stride in any of the other things, although I mean, used for things like the Game Genies and so on. But this is when the first one that they actually used it to essentially make a whole ROM hack, if you will. Anyway, I've blathered on long enough about Sonic and Knuckles. The real important, the real amazing thing about this week in video game history would have happened in 1985. And in early October 1985, Nintendo, on the heels of thinking that they wanted to get into the video game market, obviously very hesitant because of the video game crash that had happened just a couple years earlier, well, they did their pilot program, and they sent an unknown little plumber and a small beige-looking box to New York City for a limited release, a test release, really, of the original Nintendo Entertainment System. They sent a limited number of consoles. They set up displays where people could come in and play the original titles and try it out in these department stores and the like, toy stores and such. And surprisingly, or not surprisingly, as it may be with 2020 vision, you know, because not only are we looking backward, but it's also 2020, and it's vision, it's a jokes, but that it turned out all right for Nintendo. And that's where we kind of started to get the bounce back from the video game, crash. So cheers to Nintendo, cheers to the original Nintendo Entertainment System, and its limited launch in New York this week. You know, it's
New
gaming.
New York.
It's gaming history.
Now, did you ever see the High Score episode on Nintendo on Netflix? The High Score documentary did an episode on Nintendo. I think it was the third episode.
I think so. I think I have seen that one. Why?
It was pretty dope, and it went a little deeper into what you were just explaining. And so I think everyone should go watch that because it was very insightful and very entertaining, in my opinion. I think everyone should check that out.
And, you know, I will have, just to field something that Galvatron's saying in the chat, I have to disagree with you about the idea of Nintendo entering the game market in 85 as a low-risk proposition. You know, that may be, like I say, in hindsight, but, you know, the fact that cartridges had to be buried in the desert because it was costing the company more to hang on to them, Atari that is, than it would be, you know, it was costing them more in just storage space than they could afford. The fact that so many consoles, you know, places had to close up shop, the fact that they had to brand this as an entertainment system instead of a video game console in order for stores to carry it, does not, you know, it is not a low-risk proposition. They had to do a lot of work to get stores to just carry the Nintendo in the first place. So, I mean, I hear what you're saying, respectfully disagree, though. But that's all the time we have for gaming history.
Cool. We will move on to our next segment, a segment called The Topic of the Week, where we talk about the hottest story in gaming and give our opinions on it. And if you're here in the chat, we want to hear your thoughts on this as well. Mac, this one is from TheVerge.com by Tom Warren, and here is the story. Microsoft's Xbox app update for iOS and iPadOS is now live, allowing Xbox One owners to stream games to their devices. A new Xbox app is available in the App Store that includes a remote play feature, which lets Xbox One console owners stream their games to an iPhone or iPad. Remote Play is different to Microsoft's xCloud service, which streams games directly from servers instead of your own Xbox One console. This Xbox Remote Play feature will only connect to your Xbox console, not to xCloud. It's similar to Sony's own PS4 Remote Play feature that's also available on Android and iOS. So, Mac, here's my question for you, and I'll tell you my experience with this a little later, because I tried this tonight. Last night. Basically, I had to turn on my Xbox, but then I could be upstairs in my home, laying in bed, playing these games on my iPad using an Xbox controller. So, yes, it's cool, but is this something that we need, or is this just Microsoft trying to do what Sony did? I mean, like, can you see any practical use for this that would excite you?
I don't know, man. I'm not sure. I can't see how I would use it or where
let's back up.
Okay.
Because you're a PC guy.
Yeah.
So let's say that there's a similar feature, and maybe there already is that I don't know about. Let's say there's a similar feature on Steam.
Yeah, there's Big Picture, I think, right? That lets you do it on television.
To me, this is really about portability. So let's say there's something that allows you to play your PC Steam games on your tablet remotely. Maybe that already exists. I don't know. Is that something that would excite you? Do you see a practical use in that? Or when you're playing Steam, you just want to be at your computer?
When I'm playing, I kind of just want to be at my computer. But then again, one of the things that goes back to a conversation we have often, whether it's about mobile games or, you know, often with porting and the like, is that sometimes there are games that are just so much more suited for their control scheme. And I feel like by control scheme, I mean having a keyboard and a mouse, as well as, you know, my computer screen in front of me, being seated. You know, there's a lot of stuff that goes into it, and I can think of a game or two that I would enjoy otherwise, but probably not as much as it would be just walking on down here and, you know, hopping on the computer.
See, and that's kind of how I feel about it. Like, I like being able to play my games in different places. Like, I like that I don't have to, you know, unplug my Xbox, you know, first world problems, right? Mm-hmm. You know, unplug my Xbox and move it to another room, and then I got to replug it in and turn it back on. You know, it's really not that big a deal. Just to give you some examples of what I did last night, I played some Halo 5 because I wanted to see how it would run. It ran okay on multiplayer. I tried some Call of Duty Warzone. It absolutely would not run. And then I tried some Witcher 3 because I was like, you know, where this really shines is the single player thing. Maybe you want to lay in bed and you want to play this game without having to move your stuff around. And that worked really, really well. But I just don't know why Microsoft is putting the effort into this at this point when they also have xCloud. Just make xCloud available for iOS. Don't worry about the remote play aspect. Just give us xCloud for iOS. I don't get it.
Well, to that end, I believe that there's some kind of a hang-up with Apple with respect to xCloud. Presumably, Apple does not want Microsoft releasing an application that's still in beta. I've heard at least that as being a reason for that floating around, but you know, that to your point about why not just xCloud on iOS, I think the crux of it, at least for now. And maybe this is really just a stopgap measure to not leave the iOS users out in the cold until such time that xCloud is finally available on iOS.
No, and you're 100% right, and Galvatron echoed that sentiment in the chat. It is absolutely that Apple won't allow that. And so my point is, get xCloud to the point that Apple will allow it. Like, do something. You know, whatever you got to do to get this on iOS, which so many people own, make it happen. Now, Galvatron brings up another point that's something I thought about last night. He said there is a use for this remote play. People ask, why would anyone play a Switch in an airport? Now, it's not quite the same thing. Because on the Switch, you're actually taking your Switch, which is a portable device, and using it in the airport. With this, it's just remote play. So, to give you guys an example, you open the Xbox app on your iPad or your Android device. You turn on your Xbox remotely. You start an app remotely. But then you have to connect in order to play remotely. And it goes through this little process. And then it's laggy. You know, there's some input issues if you're using a controller. The graphics have some issues, but for the most part, it's smooth. But it's not quite the same thing as being able to play a game directly on the device, because it is remote play. But it does seem like they're just trying to achieve what the Switch has been doing for a while. And I wish that they would just do that through xCloud rather than through remote play. Especially since PlayStation has had remote play for a long time. So I feel like I've beaten this horse to death. I had fun with it, but I don't know if it's something we need. That's what I wanted to say.
Yeah, and I'm glad that you had fun with it. I'm really glad that you were able to try it. I don't have an Xbox, so I, you know, am really kind of, but I'm glad that you got to try it, and although I feel like I would have come to the same conclusion as well.
Yeah, so that has been our topic of the week.
All right. Well, now let's take a look at a crowdfunding project that's trying to get off of the ground. We call this Kick or Kickstart. And at the end of this segment, we want to hear from you. Let us know if you're here with us live. Throw in the chat either kick or kickstart. The idea is that if you don't like it, you say kick it out of here, or kickstart if you do like the premise and such. And Mr. Nice Guy, I had probably about 3 different things to that we could have said, right? 3 different awesome. Things that we could have gone with, but I finally landed on this one. It's called Grindstone. It's Die by the Blade. The name of the group who's putting it together is called Grindstone. So they talk about their inspirations, and they mention the legendary Bushido Blade series. I've actually not played the Bushido Blade series, so that's on me. But at its core, this is primarily, it's a 2D fighter, kind of like Injustice or the Mortal Kombat series, but with 3D models, and it is a sword game. Everybody's wielding swords in it, and basically it's a one-hit kill kind of fighter with a lot of emphasis on action and reaction, parrying and repositing and such of the like. With that being said, if this is something that you're interested in, just to give you all the stuff up front, it's a $25 buy-in for a digital copy of the game for release in June 2021. Sword fighting, of course, one hit kill. The hope is to release on PlayStation, PC, Xbox, and Switch. And like I said, with $25 as your minimum buy-in. The graphics look pretty nice. I especially like where they're kind of going. Some of the rewards leave me a little bit wondering, like, you know, obviously there's Kickstarter exclusive skins for the characters, but then again, you know, it's stuff like a samurai mask. I'm like, okay, that's cool, but I mean, I don't know if that's the kind of physical that I would want from a thing. They do spend a little bit of time pointing out that, you know, that a lot of they did motion capture for a lot of the 3D models and the like. But yeah, like I said, some of these things like three high resolution posters for you to download. For example, if you $25, it's digital game on release, right? And these digital posters, or $10 if you just want the these 3 high resolution posters.
Facepalm.
Yeah, I feel like, and access to, you know, a Kickstarter forum for backers. Like, I don't know.
I have some strong opinions. Finish your thought.
No. Strong opinions from you first, and then I'll give my strong opinions second.
I can't believe that anyone has given this game money, to be honest with you. Why are you using motion cap in a 2-dimensional fighting game? Motion cap is expensive. My understanding is it's a hard thing to do, and it costs a lot of money and a lot of time. For a game that is probably your first or one of your first, and you're only asking, what, $20,000? When I say only, I mean that's a relatively small amount for a Kickstarter game, $20,000. And you're going to do motion cap? Like, I just don't understand some of the decisions that people make. Also, really, a one-hit kill game? A one-hit kill multiplayer game? Seriously?
What was the name of the one? Was it Nilhog or something like that? That was a one hit kill sword game that was actually quite well received, and as I understand it, very delightful. But yeah, sorry, you were saying.
Yeah, dude, I just see way too many problems with this. I will say I agree with you. The graphics look phenomenal. But I can't imagine that this is going to be a complete game, or that even if they get funded, that they will be able to complete this game for $20,000.
Yeah.
And get it onto PC, PlayStation, Xbox, and Switch. Because there are individual licensing fees for every single one of those platforms. And I just can't believe that for $20K. Mac, think about how many times we've looked at a Kickstarter that's set to go out only on Steam, and then they have the Switch as a stretch goal. And usually the stretch is like an additional $15,000 to $25,000.
Yeah.
This one is only $20,000, and they're claiming that they're going to get it on all four of these.
In June, no less.
Right, of 2021, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's not that far away. So I just think this is absurd. I'm not going to be nice about it.
Yeah, the thing that really kills me about it is that there's no demo. I mean, there are some pre-things, and they even mention that people like it, right? They're like, ah, oh, we've got testimonials from Screen Rant and True Achievements and Games Radar and the like. And they even mention that they've been trying out various things. You know, they've got the local and online multiplayer thing working, presumably, because they've been able to try it and get feedback from people. If it's complete enough that there is, you know, that you know that you have that, we need the demo. We need to try it, please, because...
Dude, some of these testimonials aren't even compliments. They're just straight up statements. The one from GamesRadar just says, slicing and dicing are the order of the day here. I mean, that feels almost like it's a part of a quote that where they took out the part that said slicing and dicing are the order of the day here and nobody's buying or something like that. Like, it just seems like it's a partial quote.
Fair enough.
That, and many of the others do as well.
Yeah, that could it could just be a tweet that somebody said, oh, I saw this render. But I mean, but they do, and I can't find it right now, nor am I going to bother to scroll through to find it. But I know when I was reading it before that they, or maybe it was when I was watching it, that there was some commentary about people actually playing it and giving them feedback. And if it's in a position where you're able to get feedback, I would appreciate the ability to try it out. And yeah, so kick it for me. It's just...
Yeah, I mean...
Yeah.
This is one I would kick it, and then I would walk over to where I kicked it, and I would kick it farther down the road. I'm sorry. I know this is mean, but this is just not... This is not an acceptable Kickstarter, dude. This is not something that we want or that we need, and it's not well put together. I'm just being honest.
Yeah, I mean, the visuals look nice and impressive, but, you know, there's not enough there to intrigue me. And I'm kind of with you. I'm surprised that it has garnered what it already has. But, you know, they can't all be winners. Good luck, Grindstone Studio, Grindstone Games. Keep your nose to it. And, well, that's been Kick or... Kickstart, and I think we're all in agreement, both here as well as in the chat as well. So that being said, we're going to move on now to a little thing with trivia, but before we start Nerdflex, I have to say that there are still unclaimed sound tests out there. Episode 131, 135, 138, 142, 147, 155, and 159. I've got stuff to share. You just have to figure out, solve the riddle, find the solution, tweet at us, hashtag sound test, tweet at two nerds in a pod, and correctly identify the sounds from those episodes, include the episode number, obviously, and win yourself a Perler. So
what was the most recent one? 160?
159.
I will give you guys a little, I won't say any hint about what it is, but I will tell you guys.
Let them do it on their own. And there will be another one next time in episode 163 as well.
Just go listen to episode 159 and guess what it is. That's all I'm going to say. All right. So it is time for Nerdflex.
Woo-hoo.
A segment where you, the viewer, try to stump the host, and maybe one in every 160 episodes, you do. So we have our test bank of questions. If you are here live, please get those questions into the chat right now. Please make them multiple choice and not just random questions like, how many coins are in the third level of Super Mario Brothers? And then we have to try to be like, all right, there was one over the pipe. There was 10 if you go down the pipe. There was 7 question blocks, because those types of questions nobody can get right. So, Mac, we'll start with one or two from the test bank, and then we'll move on, my friend. How do you feel about that?
Let's do it.
All right. In which Konami game does the player lose and then gather the character's body parts?
Oh, I know this one.
Do you? Because I have no idea. I'll read it one more time for the people at home. In which Konami game does the player lose and then gather the character's body parts?
I gather the character. Well, I mean, it's a Konami game. I feel like the answer is Castlevania 2, because in it, you gather up the parts of Dracula so that you can beat him. And now, to be fair, Castlevania 2, Simon's Quest, had some issues with regard to translation and stuff like that, but I feel like you had to gather up the body parts to summon Dracula in order to kill him properly. So I think that's kind of a loss. So yeah. So Castlevania 2 Simon's Quest is what
I'm just going to go with you because I have no idea. The thing that makes me wonder though, is it says, do you lose and then find?
So yeah, I mean, and that's what I'm getting at with the, I think because you are gathering the body parts to, in order to kill him, kill Dracula, that, you know, implicit there is that you did it wrongly or that you lost, so that then you have okay. to do it, I think. Okay. But then
well,
again,
I'm going to go with you.
But then again, no, you win at the beginning of that, right? Okay. Yeah. So Simon's Quest, Castlevania 2.
Okay. Castlevania 2, Simon's Quest, final answer. And the correct answer is, oh boy, Never Dead. Not a game that I have heard of. Seems to be a lesser known Konami game. We're 0 for 1.
Yeah.
And that's okay, Mac.
No, I'm...
That's okay.
I'm disappointed in myself. Oh, man.
It's all good, dude. Let's keep things moving. Get those questions in the chat if y'all have some questions for this week. Looks like we have one that just came in. Surprise, surprise. It's a Pokemon question. Mac, why don't you read this one for
Spenis us? Is our resident Pokemaster. In Pokemon, what move type would a Nidoking have immunity to? A, fire, B, electric, C, water, or D, ghost? I think the answer... I feel like D, ghost, is the correct answer there.
Nidoking was kind of like a Rhino-like character, right? If I remember correctly.
I believe Nidoking was a normal type Pokemon. And yeah, I think there were like some horns.
Yeah, like a Rhino-like characteristics.
Yeah. And it, clarification, immunity meaning what type move does not do any damage to it. Yeah, I hear ya. So I think ghost. Because I'm pretty sure that I, with my Pikachu, have thunderbolted a Nidoking, I feel like. But wait a minute. Maybe I'm thinking of the wrong one.
Just a heads up, did you guys hear that lightning on my end?
No.
That was crazy. Like, it was loud enough that my mic picked it up. So if y'all lose me for a minute, that's going to be why.
Okay.
But anyway, I will go with... You're going with Ghost? I'm going to go with you again? Because I don't think that you're going to miss two questions.
You know, maybe just in the off chance you should go with electricity in case I'm not remembering which Pokemon it is correctly, because a ground type, well, no, wait, a ground type wouldn't be immune. It would just be, you know, it would just be resistant. It would be, it's not very effective. Yeah, I think it's, yes, it's the thunder, not the lightning. We know if there is anything that our fans and beautiful nerds that you are like, it's the pedanticism. We love it.
That's right. We love y'all. Cool. Well, yeah, you go with Ghost. What the heck? Maybe that lightning that I heard on my end, that I heard with my own two ears, is a sign that I should go with electric. So... Let's go with electric. He's going to go with ghost. Final answers. Let us know in the chat what the correct answers are, Spenis. And if anyone has a third question, you have just a couple seconds to get it in. If not, I am going to pull up one more from the test bank. Mac, do you think we got that last one right? Are you nervous about it?
You know, I'm feeling pretty confident. I'm not going to lie. They had this in the first half. But we're going to get it.
Yeah, we'll get it. Okay, so let's keep things moving.
All right, so Nidoking and its female counterpart, Nidoqueen, are both poison and ground types. So because of their ground typing, they are immune to electric type moves. Along with their poison typing, they also cannot be poisoned. Mr. Nice Guy,
yo,
congrats.
Dude, we got to give props to that audible lightning that that helped me know what answer I should pick.
It's true, dude. I'm so glad. As a team, we are 1-2. But I have failed us twice in a row. I feel like I'm on a real downslide lately. So let's see another test bank one. We'll see if I can't redeem myself this night.
You know what's crazy? So the one that popped up is another Pokemon question, which is fantastic. Spendus will probably know the answer. Here's the question. What two types is the Pokemon Gengar? What two types is the Pokemon Gengar?
I mean, I feel like Ghost, obviously, because he's Ghost. And here's the thing. I mean, I don't remember if he was two types in the original, but if he was two types in the original, he would have been Poison Ghost, right? But if we're talking,
yeah, like, I feel like he like let gas, like let a cloud of gas off, right?
What I'm getting at is, I feel like in later ones, like for example in Silver and farther on, that he probably would be like a Dark Ghost type Pokemon. You know what I mean? I feel like once they opened up those additional typing options or type options, that it would have picked up Dark more than anything else.
Yeah, I think you're right. Was it a purple Pokemon? I seem to remember it being purple in color.
Yeah, he's purple. I mean, and that's why I'm just, his first appearance was in Pokemon Red and Blue, and it would have had to have been something like, you know, Poison Ghost. I mean, probably not Ghost Normal, but Poison Ghost feels right.
Why don't we try Poison and Ghost? Final answer.
Let's keep
things moving. Dude, Ghost and Poison.
Hey!
Mac comes through in the clutch. We got 2-3 tonight. Good work.
2-3. Man, my heart was going a mile a minute for a minute there, but I'm glad I could redeem myself. Thank you, everybody, for your questions. We will get to more of those next time, so hold on to those gaming questions, and we'll hit you next time in Nerd Flex. But now it's time for a little bit of legalese.
Legally.
As you know, I'm not a lawyer. I just play one on a podcast, and I am especially not a lawyer in the UK. But there is a little bit of news out of the UK that I thought was worth noting. Mr. Nice Guy, I am sure you are familiar with, especially because I mentioned Hero Wars at the beginning, or earlier on, but I'm sure you're familiar with Hero Wars advertisements for the mobile thing. Let me read a description. A paid-for post included the caption, "Think you can do better?" The ad included a video which showed three cartoon characters of a man, a woman, and a burglar. The video showed pins being pulled out in an attempt to unite the man with the woman without meeting the burglar. Throughout the video, the on-screen text at the top stated, "Help her escape." Sounds familiar, right? We've seen this kind of thing a million times, but that's not talking about Hero Wars. Rather, it's talking about a thing called Homescapes, which is a mobile game, almost definitely a clone of Hero Wars, or whichever direction it came from, made by a company called Playtrix. So there is an Advertising Standards Authority in the UK. It's a separate entity, you know. We would have something like the Federal Trade, you know, the FTC, which would govern, say, you know, advertisements and the like. But theirs is done by the ASA, the Advertising Standards Authority, and people lodged a complaint about Homescapes, Across the Pond's version of Hero Wars, and their advertisements not being, you know, true to what they are actually peddling. And so the UK, right, their ASA said, oh, yeah, no, this isn't in line with fair, you know, advertising practices, and they cannot put up that form of advertisement again. While it's not something that will impact us in the United States, because we are still being subjected to, these, you know, advertisements that have nothing to do with what the game's actually like, as in a la Hero Wars, but in the UK at least, they're not gonna take it.
No, they're not gonna take it.
They're not gonna take it anymore. So, yeah, it's done. And congrats to them. I kind of wish we had some of that going on, or rather not going on here. But again, not a lawyer, and I'm definitely not a UK lawyer, so that's just a little bit of legalese. And that's been our show. Oh, I'm almost forgetting. We have to talk about what we're watching and what we're playing, don't we?
That's exactly right. And if you're here live, you have a job to do. Let us know the stuff you've been playing on your consoles, on your mobile, on everything, and the stuff you've been watching on YouTube, on Netflix, on Hulu, on Disney Plus, if you're not Maction, maybe even on Blu-ray, because we're always looking for cool, nerdy stuff to get into. So let us know in the chat right now. Mac, I'll lead off if that's cool with you.
Absolutely lead.
I'm seeing absolutely Lee, huh? I'm seeing some musical references in the chat, which is interesting because my family that was in town got me into a little show called The Masked Singer. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've heard of it, but it's actually really, really cool. Like, I'm really enjoying watching it. It's random celebrities wearing a mask and they're singing and performing, and people try to guess who they are over several episodes. I just want to get famous enough that I can sing off key on there, Mac. I want them to say, you know what, Lam Galooka, come be on the show, and I'll just do straight up Weird Al Yankovic songs for every single episode.
I have never been more happy than I am right in this moment to hear you say that.
Yeah, it would be so much fun. You know. Anyway, I also have started rewatching The Mandalorian in preparation for season 2, which comes out in 10 days. I'm very excited for that. And as far as what I have been playing, I've been playing a little bit of Xbox, like I said. I really got into Half-Life Alyx. I played a few hours of that this weekend. And doing some Nintendo Switch with the kiddies. That's pretty much it for me, Mac. How about you, buddy?
Well, for my part, I've been playing mostly tabletop RPGs, and I've been getting back into Minecraft just a little bit lately, so that's been cool. I did say that I was going to fill you in on what we did without you. Short version is that because GURPS, Generic Universal Role-Playing System, we flexed those muscles, and I shamelessly stole the idea from another place, but played essentially Indiana Jones and the Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Nice, that sounds like fun.
Played, you know, but obviously playing it as a tabletop RPG means that it started turning out very differently once people could, once people could direct Indy and the like to do different things. So, very fun.
That's awesome.
Watching, Mrs. the Mac and I, we recently started watching... what was it called? We finally finished off Lucifer season 5, and I started watching The Boys on Amazon. And
you just started it? What'd you think?
I have to admit, I don't necessarily want a anti-hero, and I don't want anti-heroes and anti-anti-heroes. I was kind of hoping for some more good guys, bad guys stuff, but it's compelling. So I've given it a pilot plus 3, and I think I'm going to keep watching it in spite of my initial distaste. So
awesome. Well, that's some good recommendations. Why don't we read what the people in the chat are doing? Mac, you want to take, which one do you want to take this week?
Just pick one. I'll take playing. So Rolf is playing Partisans, 1941, Hearts of Iron 4, and as always, Slay the Spire. Spenis is playing Fall Guys, Super Mario 3D All-Stars, MLB The Show 20, Ghosts of Tsushima, Among Us, and Genshin Impact. Ishmobile's playing GURPS. Metzgirl is playing GURPS and D&D, Minecraft, and Among Us. AR Wilson is playing NHL 21, Madden 21, and NBA 2K21. Although, just bought it yesterday, so lots new to learn. And Galvatron's playing Burnout Paradise, Forza Motorsport 7, Tales of Vesperia, The Walking Dead, the final season. And apparently, that's so much better than the show, but that's what people have been playing.
Nice. As far as what people have been watching, Galvatron's watching The Haunting of Bly Manor on Netflix, A Quiet Place in 4K, Borat on Prime Video, and Spenis is watching Cobra Kai. As Max says, it's a advertisement for what'd you say, for being sober or something like that? Like it's a PSA for that. I think you said that a couple weeks ago. Yep. The Simpsons, and he's watching The Mandalorian. Ishmobile's watching The Good Place, fantastic show. Metz Girl is watching Star Trek Deep Space Nine, Shannara Chronicles, and that is it. And I think that's it, man. Oh no, we got House, who's watching Vampire. Oh no, he's not. That's what he's playing.
He caught up on Supernatural, but he's playing Codelka and Vampire Hunter D. So yeah.
Mac, why don't you take us home, man?
Absolutely. Thanks, everybody, for being here. Thank you for sharing the nerdy stuff you're into and the nerdy questions that you had with us. It's great to have you, as it is every time. And be sure to tune in at 8 p.m. Mountain, 9 p.m. Central on Tuesdays here at twitch.tv/2nerdsinapod. Keep being nerdy, be excellent to each other, and we will see you next time.
Deuces. Go vote!
Go vote indeed.